But just while Maxim sets up, I'll introduce our next speaker, Maxim Lin. So Maxim Lin's senior web developer and multimedia system administrator at the National Gallery in Victoria. And today Maxim's going to talk to us about his experience with an online multimedia project collaborating with schools in Victoria. So please welcome Maxim Lin.
Hi everyone, does that work, Kate? Yep, great. I'd just like to talk to you today very quickly about how we use open source in our art education projects, and specifically about one project we've been working on over the last year and a half or so. So my name is Maxim Lin, I'm from the National Gallery of Victoria in Melbourne. I'll just quickly tell you a bit about the NGV, where located in the centre of Melbourne. We've got two campuses, one for Australian art and one for international art. And they're both very impressive looking buildings, so I highly recommend you popping by if you're visiting Melbourne sometime. Yeah, we've got some very nice interior shots there. So, and a little bit about my role at the gallery. I'm in the multimedia department, and we're a small multidisciplinary team who basically work on all the multimedia in the gallery. That's both things that are internal to the gallery, like kiosks, touch screens, information screens, and also looking after the multimedia artworks themselves that are installed in exhibitions. And the team comprises of myself and another developer, and the project I'm going to be showing you today is actually mainly the work of my colleague, as well as web designers on our team, audio editor, video editor. My manager's actually a cameraman, and we've also got a motion graphics editor. So we look after basically all kinds of screens, projections that we do for visitors in the gallery, and information screens that go with artworks, and the actual multimedia artworks themselves that are installed alongside more traditional exhibits you might be used to. So there's quite a range of things that we look after. Now, one of the primary things that I look after on the team is our website. And we basically have a lot of education resources that we put up on our website for use by schools. We make a big effort for our larger exhibitions, especially the Masterpieces exhibition that we have once a year. And we actually have, like, on site, like an education department staffed by educators who create programs for large numbers of school groups that visit every year that you can imagine. Now, for the larger exhibitions, we actually do basically custom applications built on open source software to support each exhibition. So, for instance, there was a very large resource created for the DALI exhibition middle of last year. And as part of that, we had a photo competition mainly for students, but it was also open for the general public. And that was a custom application built on top of an open source framework called Helma, which is actually JavaScript based. So rather than just doing JavaScript in the browser, we actually use JavaScript on our servers to write our applications, basically because a lot of the work we do is specifically for an exhibition, very tight deadlines, and we need pretty rapid development. And because we're a multidisciplinary team, it helps that some of the people who aren't actually developers do know a little bit of JavaScript as well, say the web designers, so they can help out and a bit more used to the environment. Now, another new thing that we've done last year is that for the last few years, we've had audio guides running on podcasts that people could hire when they came to the gallery. It's pretty standard, although I think we were the first gallery in Australia to actually use iPods, so okay, proprietary, but we try and make the content as open as possible. And so this year, what we were actually able to get permission to do is publish the audio guide content prior to actually the exhibition opening and publish it in full. So basically, any school groups, if they wanted to, could download the content and bring it along themselves. Or, for instance, the teachers could use it prior to visiting or after visiting. And school kids could use it, for instance, if they were doing homework assignments at school. So we've made that completely open. And we're actually in the process of redeveloping our website, and we're planning to make much more use of publishing multimedia resources on the website for education use. Now, the specific project I want to talk to you today was one part of two larger projects that we've been working on almost 2 years now. And they were intended to basically provide much richer education resources based on two areas of the NGV's permanent collection, which we've got like about 66,000 various works and items in our collection. And so that you can imagine we had to really focus on two particular areas, and the ones that were chosen were part of the Indigenous art collection and the Japanese art of the floating world. Now, the site that was created for the Indigenous art collection, Vision Transformation, and it's a very large, rich resource that, again, was a custom application that we built based on the open source framework that we have. And it provides like quite a fair bit of rich content, things like interviews with artists, video footage of the communities, which we actually went out and shot. So I don't think we actually provide Creative Commons license for the content, but it's mainly because we do have such tight deadlines in publishing the content. Most of it, where we created ourselves, we can probably get permission in the end to publish it under a reasonable license, but we're always struggling for time to get all the clearances required. One of the things that was part of the site was to give students a better idea of where the communities that the artworks came from are located throughout the country. So this is an actual interactive map. I might switch over to the browser in a little bit to show you how it works. And it's linked through to all the information about the artworks and the artists. And like one of the things that these resources were intended for was to use with electronic whiteboards, as they're called, which are a big push at the moment in Victorian schools. So we also provided resources in a way that helped teachers make use of them for the whiteboards. Now, I'll quickly jump through, so the main thing I want to talk to you about was the activity that we created as part of the Floating Worlds resource. The Floating Worlds was originally an exhibition that we had. And again, we did a similar resource of all the content, all the contextual information for the students to use. But we focused on one particular thing, which was the Kabuki Theatre of that period in Japanese society. And we built an interactive activity around it for students to create stories. So we prototyped it. We did quite a lot of preparation work. We commissioned actual music by musicians playing traditional instruments. And what it came through to, if I can switch to the browser. Hopefully that goes full screen. So basically, what we have is a fully interactive activity that we built basically from scratch, which lets students create their own stories. So they can put in a background, add actors, emotions provide a soundtrack. So sad emotion. Okay, a bit fiddly. And you can also animate things, so put in another actor. And you just move the timeline along. And create animations. So then if I put in and play it back, what you basically get is like the soundtrack and animations to let students basically create their own story. And they can also, of course, click save here to save that and to pass on to students. Now, mine's a really, really bad effort at that. So what I can do is I can actually show you, for instance, one that a student's actually created. And one other thing you can see here is actually, it's quite a nice feature. Whatever they create, they actually get a textual storyline based on the animation that they make on the fly. Now, you might be thinking, well, so what? Like, we've seen plenty of cool Flash apps similar to this, but this is actually not Flash. This is all done with open source JavaScript, HTML, and a little bit of server-side JavaScript, and that's it. That is a little bit of a fib. The music, we do need Flash to play back, but that's only because we're waiting for slightly better support with the HTML5 audio tag. But essentially, this is a completely open source package built on top of open source. We're still working on extracting the code out from the content because we'd like to make it generic and reusable across a large number of areas. We don't currently, because of our deadlines, we've had to tie it in directly to this floating world content, but what we'd like to do is break out the engine and open source it and make it available for schools to use if they'd like, for other institutions to provide it, these similar kind of educational products to schools to highlight their collections or other parts of their content. Like, I don't know if they have time for a quick question or two. No, if not, I can
get
maybe
a big thumbs up there.
Cool. I do have a quick promo video that we made about it, and it might be better to basically show you and get let you see what the way the students actually make use of the artwork.
Floating World was a project that started with a question. And the question was, how can we take an innovative approach to digital artworks, digital resources that the National Gallery of Victoria had produced, and how could we connect that sort of innovation into a classroom in a way that was natural, that had a beneficial impact on teacher practice, and also engage students, not just in terms of busy work or fun, although fun is a good thing in and to itself, but in a way that sparked an interest in this case, Japanese art, sparked an interest in the telling of stories, and in particular gave them an opportunity to create their own story, a digital story, and with all the benefits that came from that.
Okay, if you want to, you can click off some of these arrows here that hide to the different categories, right? So there's obviously ones about monsters, ghosts, villains and heroes. So you can choose what you want, or you can just look through them one at a time.
I wanted to extend one or two lines, and I want to present this in class. So while we're having on the story, I want to read the descriptions.
Tengu wa sakana ni imasu. Sakana wa shibun ni imasu.
One thing I forgot to mention was we've actually gone through now and trialled this project with about 20 different schools, mostly in the junior to middle high school level.
And then Jigaku Daiyu Munuwaka saying, "No, you cannot leave me. You cannot leave me now.
The Floating Worlds is a sort of another step up with the interaction where you can actually look at the artworks, you can zoom in a bit more, you can get more information and then obviously work with the storytelling aspect of it. So it's a different way of presenting and interacting with content.
For students to tell stories, it improves their communication skills. It makes them think about what they are doing, what story they are telling, how they could tell it for best effect. And stories are something that relate to you personally, and there's a lot more passion in that, a lot more areas for skill development. I don't think students realise how powerful the storytelling is.
I think it's the whole package, not just the art. It's got a history, it's got a story, and it's got the language, and it's got the culture. And for me, it's the whole package of, well, Japanese culture, including the language.
The students have been able to think about the artworks on a much different level than what they would have beforehand, like just looking at an artwork in a book.
We're not just working with text or with word process documents. They've got everything. They've got sound, they've got visuals, they've got movement, and that's what kids love. They love to be able to create something that looks good, feels good, sounds good. And they can do that with this.
Can you tell me about your story? What is your story about?
So far it's about a girl who's at near a cherry blossom tree. Then birds give her this writing set. And then whenever she writes a name on that on the paper, that person dies. So it's like a horror movie.
This project allows you...
Yeah, I think that's about enough. I think I've taken up enough of your time. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, please just see me afterwards.
Thank you, Maxim.